Good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to start in Nehemiah 8. So you can turn over there. Nehemiah 8. And we're going to examine a feast activity that we don't often look at. Nehemiah 8, beginning in verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Eternal had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate, from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Now we recognize this as being the day of trumpets. It's a time of great rejoicing, although the people were troubled by some of what they heard. And then in verse 13, we read about the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and the Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Eternal had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. So we read that they gathered branches, built booths, and kept the feast. And in the last verse, verse 18, we read what they did during this feast. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. So what was the activity they were involved in the Feast of Tabernacles? Quite simply, Ezra read the Bible to the congregation. And probably as they were reading, they found Moses' instruction in Deuteronomy 31. So if you turn over to Deuteronomy 31, this is going to be my main scripture today. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 31, 9. So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. Today, I would like to discuss 5 principles that I've drawn from Moses' command to the Israelites that we can apply personally in our lives. Point number 1, read the whole book. Now, although Moses focused on the law, that's all the Bible they had at that time. Our Bible is over 5 times longer. It was Moses himself who also wrote in Deuteronomy 8:3 that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Eternal. Moses' law required that all of the Bible they had be read. I think it is safe to expand that to all of the Bible that we have. Point number 2. We can't confine our reading to once every 7 years or only at the feast. The people in Moses' day didn't have their own manuscripts. Unless someone read to them, most appropriately when they were all assembled at the Feast of Tabernacles, they could not easily access even the portion of the Bible that they did have. But while we have much more to read, we also have more opportunity to do so, because we have our own personal Bibles. This lack of manuscripts was something Moses had in mind when he gave instructions in Deuteronomy 17. If you turn over to Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18, we will read the rules for Israel's king. And what do we hear about at the feast? We are to rule with Christ, be given cities to watch over. We are to become kings. But if we wait until we actually have a kingdom, it will be too late. We need to prepare for that now. Our calling is not the same as the Israelites. We have been called to be kings. So we read in Deuteronomy 17, and verse 18, "Also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Eternal his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." A king could not wait for 7 years to go by to hear the Bible read. He was instructed to make his own copy of the scriptures and then read from it every day so he could learn to fear God and know what God wanted of him. Then there were the priests, the keepers and copiers of the manuscripts. They too had to read from them regularly so they could properly instruct the people. If we are to serve as priests or teachers in the kingdom of God, we need to know the textbook. And with our easy access to the written word, we have a responsibility and no excuse not to read from it all the days of our lives. So point number two is future kings, priests, and teachers. We have an obligation to read the Bible all year long. Now my third point is an answer to an excuse some may come up with. Don't we attend church services every week and extra services during the holy day season? Certainly, we are having the Bible read and explained to us without our having to read it independently. Some of you know my son Andrew, who lives in Eugene, and has been on the speaking schedule both there and in the places he lived before. Some time back, he took on a project that he found to be quite revealing. He wanted to know what verses others were using in their messages so he could focus on something different. He examined his notes from 7 years of church services, including holy days and feasts. This involved over 200 speakers in several different congregations and feast sites of the Church of God. He was able to statistically analyze what portions of the Bible were covered, and I wish I had time to share some of the more fascinating things he found about what speakers read in church. But I will answer this question: just how much of the Bible is actually read in church services? How much of the Bible do you think is read in church in a given year? 50%? Maybe 25%, much less. 10%? Turns out that a typical church member will hear less than 7.5% of the Bible read in church in any given year. This is about the number of verses in Genesis through about half of the book of Exodus. I find it astonishingly slow. But at 7.5% per year, we would at least cover the Bible, if not in Moses' suggested 7 years, then in about 14 years, right? You don't have to do the math. I did it for you. Well, not hardly. The problem is that many of those verses are repeated during the following year. And because of this repetition, at the end of the second year, you've only added another 5% of the Bible to what's been read. At the end of the third year, you've read only another 4.5% of the Bible. At the end of 7 years, we will have only read 27% of the Bible. Quarter of the Bible in 7 years. So will we ever read it all? No. That curve levels out to where in a lifetime, you will have only heard 1/3 of the Bible read in church. With our current church format, 2/3 of the Bible we will never hear read in church services. Now, I've had several people, especially ministers, suggest that surely we in the church read more than that, than what this study shows. But I repeat, this was a study of the Church of God, not some outside group. Point number 3, you will have to read the Bible yourselves. Point number 4, everyone must be included. Not just the men and the women, but the children too. We have a responsibility as parents to read the scriptures to our children. My son told me that he was talking to a fellow church kid several years ago who was then a young adult. The subject of Balaam's donkey came up. And the young adult said, "Wait, there's a talking donkey in the Bible? Have any of your children not heard about the talking donkey? What about the floating axe head? Or the Syrian army that God smote with mental blindness and confusion so that Elisha could lead them into a trap? Do your children know what eventually happened to that army? Do you know?" Point number 4, don't forget the children. Point number 5 is the principle of repetition. You might say, "I've read the Bible through at least once." But reading the Bible once is not enough. Going through it a second time is not enough. Moses expected the Bible to be read, the Bible that he knew, to be read at least every 7 years. How many years have you been in the church? How many times have you read through the scriptures? Some people set a goal of reading the Bible every year, and there are Bibles specifically designed to guide you into doing just that. There are also Bible reading plans on the internet for reading the Bible in 1 year or two or whatever. You can even find one on the UCG website. And then there's the church's Bible reading program, which I've had the pleasure of helping to develop, which can provide supplemental commentary as it guides you through the scriptures in suggested daily doses. But you don't need someone else's plan. The order in which you read the Bible and the amount you cover at any one time is in your control. There's no real deadline here. Although getting through the Bible at least every 7 years, as mentioned in Deuteronomy 31, seems like a minimum goal to me, I personally find 1 year to be pretty aggressive. I would rather spend more time thinking about what I'm reading. Which brings me to a very important caution. Don't make this some absent-minded goal. If you don't remember what you just read, you haven't accomplished much. Better to slow down and take more time if it helps you get more out of your reading. Another resource some have suggested, audio Bibles, CDs or internet streaming that allows you to hear the Word of God while in your car or engaged in some other activity where you won't be distracted. Does that seem like cheating? Not at all. Deuteronomy 31 required that the people listen to the law, not to read it themselves. It's not unusual to pick up something different from hearing instead of reading. And when you finally finish the book, read it again. Repetition is the best form of emphasis, and if you crave more variety, try a different translation next time. So point number 5, read the Bible again. In conclusion, why do we need to read the Bible? If you're still looking at Deuteronomy 17, you will find a reason in verse 19 for why the king was to read the Bible all the days of his life. The very same reason is stated in Deuteronomy 31:12, where it says that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law. There's always more to learn from God's word, always more we need to be reminded of. But also, there are things you didn't notice or understand the last time you read it. Parts of the puzzle fit together only when you have all of the pieces in mind and at your command. And then there is the principle that, as I read earlier, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And not just the relatively few words that you will hear quoted in church services every year. The Bible is the mind of God. How else do we put the mind of God into our minds and hearts if we don't read it? We need to read the Word of God to develop faith, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to read it to our children to teach them now, and we need to read the Bible to prepare ourselves to teach in the kingdom of God. The Feast of Tabernacles is a time when the scriptures themselves remind us of this important tool to prepare us for the service to our families, our church, our God, and in his kingdom to come. I wish you all happy and productive reading in the year ahead.